This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Mountain Party gubernatorial candidate Charlotte Pritt is no stranger to the political scene. She spent 8 years as a state legislator in the 80s and into the 90s. Then she ran for governor and almost won. As Glynis Board reports, she made history once and she's hoping to do it again.
She's a former educator and the daughter of a coal miner. Pritt first ran for governor in a contentious write-in campaign against Gaston Caperton in 1992. Then she made history in 1996 as the first woman to be nominated by a major party to run for governor of West Virginia. She ran then as a Democrat and almost beat Cecil Underwood. Pritt became the chairwoman of the Mountain Party in 2012, a party she says she was instrumental in forming. Now, that party has recruited her to run for the office again.
My years in the legislature were for working people, small businesses, the unions, the environment, women. So I feel as if these experiences have really given me an opportunity to be the very best person to lead the state at this critical time.
She has had a reputation ever since dating back to the legislature of being, I guess the word maverick might be a good way to describe her.
William Howe Gorby teaches history at West Virginia University. He says Democrats in West Virginia have been divided ideologically for a long time. Pritt represents the left-leaning, progressive wing of the party, as well as many independent voters.
Whenever Jim Justice won the nomination, when I heard her name, it's not a surprise because she did the same thing in 92, sort of running against Caperton to say, you know, you're getting away from the Democratic Party's base.
When the party turned its back on the progressives in the party, turned its back on the New Deal Democrats of FDR, when it turns its back on us, the party left us. So I went to the Mountain Party.
Now, just as she did in 92, Pritt is challenging the conservative-leaning Democrats in the state, as well as the far-right Republicans. She champions many of the same causes that Bernie Sanders has and is hoping the voters who came out for him in the primary will rally behind her. Many progressive voters are getting behind her, including former congressional candidate Sue Thorne.
I am a member of the Democratic Party, and I'm very happy to come out and say I'm a Democrat for Pritt. Charlotte just understands the struggles that West Virginians are going through. And frankly, I'm tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. That hasn't gotten us anywhere in West Virginia.
Thorne ran for federal congressional office in West Virginia's first district in 2012. She lost in the general election, gaining 38% of the vote. She's campaigned for Pritt this election cycle, and despite lower polling numbers, she believes Pritt stands a good chance.
She's somebody who's honest. She's always come right out and talked about what's important to her. And people trust that.
Democratic Party leaders in the state say a vote for Pritt is a vote for the Republican candidate, Senator Cole. But supporters like Thorne disagree.
What Charlotte's hearing is a lot of Republicans who are saying they're going to come out and vote for her. So I don't think that's a given that she's necessarily just taking votes away from Democrats. I think she's appealing to a wide range of people and people who have different interests.
The Mountain Party's platform seeks to increase public participation in government, promote social justice, and to protect the environment. Pritt's approach to economic development falls far outside the natural resource extraction mainstream.
No plan that is based on extractive industries that damage the environment or your health is really an economic plan. My economic development plan has three criteria. It has to be a sustainable economy that we can do over and over again, like hemp. It has to be something that is equitable. And I want to make certain it's ecologically sound, because if we are destroying the water and the air and the land, and it's inhabitable, then we are missing out on one of our greatest potentials, which is tourism.
Pritt also wants to see marijuana decriminalized and all those imprisoned for nonviolent cannabis crimes pardoned. She'd like to see prevailing wage reinstated. She's pro-choice, and she supports the right to bear arms. Pritt says despite her liberal-leaning stance, she'd be an effective governor, even if the Republican Party maintains control of the legislature.
I have a very good working relationship with people of all parties. As I said, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, they know that they can work with Charlotte Pritt because I don't give up. If I believe in something, I don't give up. I have a persistence and work ethic that I think is unmatchable.
Pritt says a vote for her is a vote against the conservative status quo that's led the state into dangerous economic times over the course of the past 15 years. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, West Virginia has the highest rate of drug overdoses in the nation. On the next episode of Inside Appalachia, host Jessica Lilly looks at how the opioid epidemic is affecting Appalachia's youngest citizens. This morning, we hear from 19-year-old Christina Weaver, who grew up in Wyoming County with a father who struggled with addiction. He overdosed on heroin in June 2015.
What is probably your favorite memory of your dad?
My dad and I would always go fishing together at the river. And I remember this one time we went to this secret spot Dad had found. And I was catching so many fish that every time I would cast, he would have to come and help me get it off the hook because I used to not get them off the hook. And he didn't even have time to put a worm on his hook. He said, we came fishing so we could both fish, he said, and you've outfished me by 25 because I haven't even got to throw my hook in the water. And that was a really good one. And that was his favorite place to be, was at the river at our cabin. So that's it was a good memory of my dad.
Do you miss him?
I do. I don't think I'll ever not miss him. Sometimes I just still be in the middle of the day and something funny will happen that I know my dad has a sense of humor like mine, and I'm like, Dad would think this is funny, I'm going to call him. Then I'm like, oh, well, you know, it hits home sometimes. Or like if something bad happens, I could always call my dad because I know he'd just laugh and make a joke about it and, you know, just tell me to get my mind off of it. He would tell me jokes and stories. He loved to tell stories. And that was always good, and I just think I miss him a lot for how carefree he always seemed to act. Just, you know, always would lift me up because I was his baby girl.
When did you find out that he had overdosed?
My mom told me. She had talked to my Aunt Laura and told me what had happened that same day. Because we had found out pretty early, so my mom set me down and talked to me and told me what had happened. And that was it was hard to hear. Because I just felt like my dad was only 38 and he just had so much more of his life to do. There's so much left to do. I'm getting married October 14th next year and I don't have anybody to walk me down the aisle. Well, I do. I have my stepdad. It's just I've always pictured my dad being the person to walk me down the aisle. So that's hard. It's hard to think about.
How do you want to remember your father?
I always remember my dad with a big smile on his face, playing with the kids. He always played with kids. That was his favorite thing, was just, you know, having fun with all the younger ones in the family and me. He, you know, went to softball games of mine, and whenever we were together, he would practice. He actually taught me how to drive a clutch, my first car. I was 14. We were at the river in this big field, and he taught me how to drive a vehicle. That was one of my favorite memories of my dad.
You seem to talk about it. I mean, you seem really calm, but I'm sure it still is difficult.
I have had a lot of questions. You know, people ask me, hey, how do you cope with this? Because I'll tell them, you know, my dad, if I know somebody that is struggling with drugs or something, I always be like, listen, that's just not something you need to do. That hurts everybody around you when you start that. That's not you wanting to use drugs to get high. That is you breaking your family's hearts. Everyone around you wants to help you, and in the end, you're just going to have to help yourself, because no matter what anybody else does, no matter how hard people try, unless you really want to stop, then you're not going to stop, and then everybody is going to be heartbroken and feel like they should have done more. I feel like I could have done more. I know my Uncle Kevin feels like he could have done more. My Aunt Laura feel like they could have done more. But in the end, I think I've learned to realize that unless somebody really, truly wants the help, they're not going to get it. No matter how hard you tell them you love them or how much you say, it would really make me happy if you could just, you know, stay clean and be there for me. Be a dad to me or be a brother to me. They don't hear it because my dad one time told me, he said, I feel bad for not loving you the way I should and putting drugs first. He said, I have put getting high before you, and I regret that. And then he picked it up again and started doing it again.
That was Christina Weaver sharing her story about what it was like to lose her father last summer to a drug overdose. You can hear the rest of her story on this week's episode of Inside Appalachia, Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, or download the podcast on iTunes. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:54. Partly cloudy and cooler today with temperatures in the 50s. Clear overnight with lows in the 30s. Partly to mostly sunny skies this weekend. Daytime highs in the 50s and low 60s with overnight lows in the 30s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Bluegrass icons Dan Tominski and Ronnie Bowman join forces on this week's Mountain Stage, beginning with their take on the Jimmy Martin classic, Hold What You Got. Here is today's Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Two, three. Don't be maybe been thinking about you, and I'm on my way. Don't sell the house, don't wreck the car. Stay there, honey, right where you are. Hold what you got, I'm coming home to stay.
Well, in my mind, I can see it's a mighty good sign that I need you. That's why I can't wait to get back home. So squeeze yourself real good and tight, and I'll be home before daylight. You hold what you got, I'm coming home, stay.
Hold what you got, I'm coming home, baby. Hold what you got, and I don't mean maybe. Been thinking about you, and I'm on my way. Don't sell the house and don't wreck the car. Stay there, honey, right where you are. Hold what you got, I'm coming home, stay.
Only a little too much grieving. When I get back, honey, this time I'm gonna stay. Well, we won't fuss and we won't fight, and this time things are gonna be alright. You hold what you got, I'm coming home to stay.
Hold what you got, I'm coming home, baby. Hold what you got, and I don't mean maybe. Been thinking about you, and I'm on my way. Don't sell the house and don't wreck the car. Stay there, honey, right where you are. Hold what you got, I'm coming home to stay.
Dan Tominski and Ronnie Bowman with Hold What You Got. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, Carol Lofton, and Ann Lee. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our theme music and break music by Mac Jatford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.